Hi, and welcome to this week's episode of the Cure Talks Cancer podcast. Each week, we'll be hearing from patients, survivors, caregivers, advocates, and healthcare professionals to do what Cure does best, provide cancer updates, research, and education. In this week's podcast, sponsored by AstraZeneca, we spoke with Dr. Mark Sosinski to help kick off Lung Cancer Awareness Month. Listen as we discuss some of the signs and symptoms associated with lung cancer, what resources can help when someone receives their diagnosis, and how patients can become better informed to be their own advocate during treatment decisions.
So with over 200,000 new cases of lung cancer in the U.S. this year, what are some signs and symptoms that individuals should be aware of with the disease?
Well, lung cancer presents with kind of one of two broad categories of symptoms. The first category are symptoms that are specific to the lungs, such as a persistent cough, shortness of breath, coughing up blood, perhaps chest pain, those sorts of things where you're having an effect of the cancer in the lung itself. The other broad category is what I would call systemic symptoms, unexplained weight loss, fatigue, malaise, these sorts of things where you don't have an explanation for something. That can often be the presenting signs or symptoms. Many times, also, we see perhaps that you might label this a third category of those patients who are having an elective surgical procedure for, you know, their gallbladder or some other procedure, and someone gets a routine chest x-ray, and they may not have any symptoms, and you'll see a so-called spot in the lung, and that is what starts the process or suspicion of lung cancer.
Okay, and so hearing a cancer diagnosis can obviously be a really overwhelming experience. So how can a newly diagnosed individual understand and kind of deal with their diagnosis? And then moreover, is there particular resources that maybe you can recommend to help them break this kind of wealth of information down?
Well, yes, you're exactly right. Obviously, the diagnosis of cancer is a fear that we all have, particularly when it's our cancer, and it brings up a lot of issues about our own mortality and those aspects that we probably weren't thinking about before we were told that, you know, you have cancer. Lung cancer specifically is has changed so much in the past 10 to 20 years, where it used to be very generic, non-personalized approach to the treatment of lung cancer with outcomes that were often perceived as being dismal compared to other solid tumors like breast cancer and colon cancer and prostate and others. To a disease now where, you know, every lung cancer patient needs to kind of understand two things. One is the stage of their cancer, because all of our treatments are dependent upon stage, and that may seem intuitive, but I think that at least historically, and I even think today, that in many situations, we kind of cut corners, for lack of a better phrase, in terms of our staging of lung cancer. So patients need to be sure their physicians understand what their stage is. And the second thing is what their diagnosis is. And you know, this term non-small cell lung cancer that we've been using for several decades is a very generic term. There are different histologic subtypes underneath that category, the two major ones being either adenocarcinoma or squamous carcinoma. And particularly in the adenocarcinoma population, there is an increasing number of molecular alterations that are part of the diagnosis. So comprehensive molecular testing at the time of diagnosis, particularly in stage 4 metastatic disease, is incredibly important, because if you define a molecular alteration, the most common actionable one we see is an EGFR mutation, then that dramatically changes the treatment and expected outcomes of that particular patient. Another thing that's important is to try to understand how much the immune system may be playing a role, or the suppression of the immune system may be playing a role, and you'll hear the term PD-L1. And so PD-L1 testing is also a standard aspect of understanding the diagnosis, because in patients who have very high PD-L1 expression, it suggests that their immune system is engaged but being suppressed by the tumor, so you have the option of using immunomonotherapy in that population with results that are much better than chemotherapy. So, you know, I think the bottom line is, as I say to patients, you got to know the stage, you got to know the diagnosis. The diagnosis today is a lot of molecular testing, and then you kind of make your therapeutic plan based upon those two aspects.
Okay, great. And so what are the various treatment options for those with lung cancer, maybe in particular for individuals who are diagnosed with stage 3 non-small cell lung cancer?
Well, stage 3 in non-small cell lung cancer has, for many years, had a standard of care that included both chemotherapy and radiation. And through many clinical trials over the years, what we established as the standard of care is the concurrent use of platinum-based chemotherapy with radiation. Now, having said that, there's several different platinum-based options that physicians use. And then one of the other controversial areas is, should you be using chemotherapy either before concurrent chemo radiation or after concurrent chemo radiation? We would refer to those respectively as either induction or consolidation therapy. And the data on those two approaches has been controversial, in a matter of debate amongst many people. But what's not a matter of debate is the concurrent use of chemotherapy and radiation. And we believe that historically that provided a curative platform for patients until the last year or two, when use of immunotherapy was introduced after completion of concurrent chemoradiation in those patients who disease either was stable or responding and tolerated chemoradiation. Immunotherapy has been shown, given following chemoradiation, to improve outcomes significantly in the stage, specifically in the stage 3 population.
Okay, and what would you say is the best way for patients to learn more about their treatment options, so that this way they can make more informed decisions?
Well, you know, I did a discussion with a newspaper reporter years ago, and not too many years ago, but she asked me a very similar question, slightly related question. I think her question is, what would you want every newly diagnosed lung cancer patient to hear as a message? And what I said to her is, I said, I think every newly diagnosed lung cancer patient should look their oncologist or surgeon or radiation oncologist in the eye and say, do you know everything you need to know to make the right decision about my treatment of my lung cancer? And that may seem kind of funny, but it gets back to some of the comments that I made about the issues of staging. Often the stage is not clearly defined as well as it should, so you have to understand the stage to know what the therapeutic options are. We do suffer from, I think, under-testing for molecular alterations in advanced stage 4 disease, and so patients need to be asking their healthcare providers, do I have a EGFR mutation? Do I have another mutation or translocation that may change the way you're going to treat me? Is immunotherapy the right thing for me, either by itself or in combination with chemotherapy? So there are lots of options for patients with lung cancer, but the central question is, it's become quite complicated, and you need to do your homework before you decide, you know, what the options are. As I say to my patients, you tend to, at least in stage 4 disease, you tend to fall into four different buckets, if you will. The first bucket is, if you have a molecular alteration, a so-called target, and you have an approved targeted therapy, to that target, then you should get targeted therapy. And so that's the targeted bucket. If you have very high PD-L1 expression, you don't have a target, but you have high PD-L1 expression, then immunomonotherapy is an option for those patients. If you don't fit into either of those buckets, most patients fit into the bucket where you would use chemotherapy and immunotherapy together. And there are multiple options in that space. And then a fourth bucket is those patients who don't have a target, have a contraindication to immunotherapy. And so they are treated best with chemotherapy. And again, there are a couple of options there depending upon what your histologic subtype is for non-small cell lung cancer.
Okay. And so one way that I like to kind of wrap things up, or bring everything together, should I say, what would you say is your biggest piece of advice for a newly diagnosed patient, and then maybe similarly your advice for those who are already living with the disease?
Yeah, I guess back to much of what I've said, you know, for the newly diagnosed patients, you need to understand your stage beyond a shadow of a doubt. And oftentimes that means making sure that the appropriate biopsies were done, making sure that lymph node staging was done either in the surgical setting or in the stage 3 setting. Again, you need to make sure that your healthcare providers, if you have advanced disease, have interrogated the tumor DNA. To know is there a molecular alteration that's going to change your therapeutic options. I always say that we have this, what I refer to as the closet of targeted therapy. Well, that closet is off limits unless you find a target, and you can only find a target by doing comprehensive genomic testing of the tumor. I think that in general I feel, and we have evidence, that testing rates are not, certainly not 100%, and certainly not where they should be. I like to make lung cancer personal. You know, if this were a family member, a parent, a sibling, a child, or whatever it may be in your life, I mean, as a lung cancer specialist, I know the list of things that I want to know about. I know the issues about defining the appropriate stage in recommending stage-dependent, state-of-the-art treatment. These sorts of things are important. But I think that level of quality of care and understanding of the disease is not consistent across all healthcare settings. And so patients should be aware of, you know, making sure stage and diagnosis are nailed down. And that really kind of defines what your therapeutic options are. For those of you patients that have been diagnosed and perhaps been treated, you know, maybe the stage is not as important because that's water under the over the dam or whatever you want to call it. But things, one example that I'll provide is we recently had an indication for a couple of drugs that target a molecular alteration called NTRK. And, if you were diagnosed 3-4 years ago, you might not have been tested for NTRK. So that would be an example where a patient who's maybe undergone some treatment might want to ask, was I tested for something that wasn't tested for 3 or 4 years ago? You should be tested for that. So I think that, the issue of ongoing patients or patients who have been diagnosed in times past and maybe have had some treatment is, you know, what was done at the time of diagnosis? Was it comprehensive by 2019 standards, or was it comprehensive by 2015 standards? Because certainly things have changed.
Okay. And so my last question for you, November is Lung Cancer Awareness Month. So why Yes. is there a need to raise more awareness around lung cancer? And maybe in particular, what should we be focusing on to try to raise more awareness in within this disease space?
Yeah, so lung cancer is the number one cancer killer. It kills more patients than breast cancer, colon cancer and prostate cancer combined. You can either even add your fourth favorite cancer. And still, lung cancer kills more patients than the combination of all those other tumors that I just mentioned. So it is public enemy number one with regard to cancer death. Most people think it's a smoking-related disease. Well, the vast majority of smokers don't get lung cancer. In 30,000 U.S. citizens on an annual basis who have never touched a cigarette get lung cancer. So there is clearly a relationship between smoking and the risk of getting this disease. But smoking isn't necessary, nor is it your destiny if you have been a smoker. Most patients diagnosed with lung cancer today are not smokers. Again, about 10 to 15% are never smokers, and the majority of the other patients have quit smoking at some time in the past. Maybe they quit a year ago, maybe they quit 20 years ago, but they're not current smokers. So, you know, I think this historically we've had a bit of what I would call therapeutic nihilism for two reasons. One is, you know, one of the issues with lung cancer is the relationship to smoking, and also lung cancer is a disease of older patients. The average age in the United States is about 70 or 71 years, so smoking and aging brings with it comorbidity. So these patients often have other illnesses such as COPD and cardiovascular disease, you know, maybe a touch of diabetes and a history of a stroke or something of that nature. So they tend to be a sicker, more difficult population to manage. And then the other thing is, if you turn the clock back 30 years, you know, I will admit our treatment options were there, but it the outcomes, the change in outcomes weren't viewed as a major gain or a major benefit. And I think all that's changed with targeted therapy and immunotherapy in the current day. So I do think today, particularly, that, you know, the outcomes are getting better, and that the options for patients with lung cancer have exploded in terms of the number of treatments that are currently approved for the appropriate indications and those sorts of things. So we've gone from thinking that lung cancer was not a treatable disease to lung cancer being, you know, a collection of probably a number of very different diseases, even though we call it non-small cell lung cancer, that have very specific treatments. So you have to be agile in your approach to patients, do your homework and do the comprehensive genomic testing, understand the role of immunotherapy in this population. And so that really brings together many more options for patients. And you know, if you're diagnosed with lung cancer today, you should remain optimistic given everything that we've learned over the past 10 to 15 years in terms of how to manage this disease and understand the underlying biology of the disease.
Okay, great. Is there anything that we haven't touched upon that you think our audience should know more about?
Oh, we could talk for 6 hours about that stuff. No, but again, it's dispelling the myth of lung cancer that, you know, it's a smoking-related disease. Smoking clearly is an issue, and I'm not, you know, we all should embrace the concept that if you don't smoke, don't start, and if you are a smoker, you should do whatever you need to do to quit, because not only is there cancer issues, but there's heart and lung and other issues with regard to smoking. So get that out on the table. As I mentioned previously, the majority of people with lung cancer today are not current smokers, so they've kind of either never were or kicked the habit, and they did the right thing, but still they have to deal with this disease, and it's very different today than it was even 10, 15 years ago.
For more information, please visit www.artofcrt.com. Don't forget to subscribe to the Cure Talks Cancer podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or other apps to hear every episode, or visit curetoday.com/podcasts. The Cure Talks Cancer podcast is the official podcast of Cure Magazine, the indispensable guide to every stage of the cancer experience. For more information, visit us at curetoday.com and find us on Twitter at @cure_magazine or Facebook at @curemagazine.